do want to greet you in Jesus' name this morning. Certainly is a privilege to be here. I enjoyed the service, the lessons from the green bean patch, and the Sunday school hour also. Trust that as we continue to look into God's Word, we can be blessed and be inspired in our Christian life. For a message this morning, I would like you to open your Bibles to Galatians. I'd like to look at Galatians chapter 1 for a few thoughts for our inspiration. Paul wrote this letter to the churches in Galatia because it had come to his knowledge that false teachers had come to them and had attempted to destroy their Christian liberty. They were teaching that it was necessary for them to keep the Mosaic law even after they had accepted the gospel message. I'm not sure why, but it seems like the Galatians were known to be a fickle people. If you look into their background, they were easily persuaded to accept false teachings. It seems like Apostle Paul was even surprised at their susceptibleness, the Christians here. He says in verse 6, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. It also seems like the false teachers tried to undermine Apostle Paul's authority as a teacher and as an apostle, thus putting what he had to say to none effect. I think it's for that reason that toward the end of the chapter he gives a detailed account of his path to apostleship and his beginning into the church work. And in that way he proves that the gospel was revealed to him through Christ and was not just a tradition. It was not something that was passed from others to him, but he received it from Christ. I think the key verse, though, where my thoughts are coming from this morning is verse 10. If I seek to please men, I should not be a servant of Christ. And that's where my thoughts will be surrounding this morning. Just a couple other thoughts about that verse. James chapter 1, verse 8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Probably one of the reasons I thought of this passage of Scripture is because in our family worship this week, we read the story of Aaron. When Moses went up to the mountain to receive the law, and the people came to Aaron and said, This man brought us up out of the land of Egypt, and he's gone. He went up into the mountain and he disappeared. And they asked Aaron to make them gods. Verse 2 of Exodus 32, and Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people brake off their golden earrings which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool, after he had made a molten calf. And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow and burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. I don't know why Aaron fell for this, to be a men pleaser. It seemed like it would have been so easy for him to just say, "No, we're not doing this. We know that Moses went up to receive the word from the Lord. He's coming back, and we're going to live holy lives until he comes back." And yet we know how hard it is for us sometimes to say, "No, we're not doing this. We're going to continue doing right." But we know that this story does not have a good ending with Aaron and their golden calf. They were punished severely for it. So that's just an example of someone who sought to please men and how it ended. Let's go back to Galatians chapter 1. I'd like to read this chapter. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ, and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for neither I received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many mine equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter, and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preached the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. In the beginning, I'd just like to point out that we know God used Apostle Paul in a powerful way in writing down and preserving the scripture, the message of the gospel that he preached, and how it works out in everyday life. And we take the things that are preserved in the scripture for truth. They're what we live by. And we can rest in that it's truth, because it's been revealed by God to men of God like Paul for us. I find comfort that Apostle Paul makes special effort to show that what he was taught was by revelation of Jesus Christ and not of men. Because Jesus Christ is the originator of the gospel. And all of the writings of the apostles agree with the teachings of Jesus that we have in the gospels. So remember verse 8 and verse 9, there is only one gospel. There's only one way to be saved from eternal destruction, and that's through Jesus Christ. There is no other gospel. When we read this chapter, we can see that Apostle Paul was not influenced by the desire to please men. He did not seek popularity. I think he already had that reputation with the Galatians when he first preached to them. And now as he tried to get them back to the true gospel, as he tried to show them where they had erred, he put this knowledge to good use. He was preaching to them so that they would know the truth, not to be popular with them. So I ask myself, what are the dangers of seeking to please men? Do we face these dangers today? Would Apostle Paul marvel at us because we're removed from the grace of Christ? And then another interesting question, how important is it for us to confer with flesh and blood or other people? Maybe we can find a few answers as we look at this passage. Yes, it is a danger to be men pleasers for us today. When we look out in the world, it seems like out in the world, there are two kinds of people. There are leaders and followers. Leaders most often seek a following that will exalt them and that will do their will. And followers seek leaders that will please them and allow them to do what they like. And that may sound nice, but really it's mass confusion. And we see the result of that on the political scene, what is happening. What is right is not important. It's what pleases the flesh that is most important in the world. But God is calling us to be obedient to the scriptures. Doing this may put us at odds with carnal men and women at times. But if we try to please both, then we'll end up in the predicament of the Galatians. We'll end up like Aaron with the children of Israel, trying to have a mixture of truth and falsehood. And because of this, the Galatians had fallen from grace. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, it's a very familiar verse. But it says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other." He cannot serve God and mammon. It's impossible to serve two masters because a conflict will result. And what strikes me that in these verses, Jesus uses the words love and hate to describe this conflict of allegiance. That's how important it is for us to choose him as our master and to serve him wholeheartedly. We've probably all been in situations where we knew that Christ, through his Spirit, was calling us to do something. Situations where we knew what was right, but we also knew that those that we were with would ridicule us for standing on truth. But you know, when we compromise to please others, there's no convenient stopping place. There's no place to stop. Very possibly the Galatians liked the praise of men. They wanted to be accepted by Apostle Paul. They wanted to be accepted by these false teachers. So they tried to please both. This just brings out the folly of trying to be a men pleaser. You can never please everyone all the time. And when people try, they're pulled in so many directions. It's no wonder they had the reputation of being fickle and slow. And whenever we compromise with truth, there's such an unrest in our lives because we just don't know where to stop. It's so much better just to adhere to the truth and live by it. But we sometimes we are faced with the temptation to enjoy the praise of men. We like the praise of men. It makes us feel good. It makes us feel good when others approve of us. And it's not wrong when we have the approval of our brethren. And it's not wrong for us to praise someone else in a true-hearted way. I think we should do that. But when that praise starts to direct our actions and control us, we better beware. We want to live under God's approval. I think the best way to be victorious in this area is to have a deep appreciation for what Christ has done for us. And I think Apostle Paul was pointing the Galatians in that direction, verses 3 through 6. He calls their attention that grace and peace come from God. He reminds them that Jesus gave all for their atonement and that he delivers from evil, but only if they accepted the gospel. Christ is doing the same for us today. Is our response total commitment to him in return? Or do the opinions, do the ridicule of others sway us from following him? I'd like to read now from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Here's Apostle Paul again, talking about how he conducted his life and those that were with him when they brought the message to the Thessalonians. For yourselves, brethren, know that our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain, but even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as ye know at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. I'll stop reading there. But what I want to bring out from this passage of Scripture is that here is a model servant of Christ in how to relate to other people with the gospel. They were bold in preaching it. They did not seek glory of men. They did not use flattering words in their teaching. Nor were they covetous. I take from this passage of Scripture that their strength, their direction came from God. As I read this passage of Scripture, I get the impression that here is a servant of Christ that is one with his master. And I know I've said this before, but we are the hands and feet of God. And here in this passage, that's the feeling that I get. There was no personal profit for them, only that God would get honor and glory. Can God depend on us to serve him like this? I'm reminded of the account of the Good Samaritan. And you know, when they were walking down that road from Jericho to Jerusalem, and the man was laying along the side of the road near death, the priest came by, the Levite came by, and the Good Samaritan came by. And I just have to wonder how much the thought of what others would think of them had to do with the priests and the Levites' unwillingness to help the dying man. Were they worried of what others would think of them? They would come into town carrying this wounded man. They would get his blood on them. They would get dirty from dressing the wounds. But that didn't matter to the Good Samaritan. He was willing to be a servant. And there are times that we face those situations. And God is pleased when we respond like the Good Samaritan to those in need. Not concerned what others think of us, but concerned of what God wants us to do. Just be a servant for Him. Moving on, I'd like to think for a bit about Apostle Paul's statement where he says, "Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood." And as we go along, I think we'll see how this ties together. The Acts account doesn't record Apostle Paul's time in Arabia that I could find. It just says he preached and taught in Damascus until he was driven out and his friends let him down over the wall in a basket. But it does tell us that when the Lord told Ananias to go and minister to him, he said, "I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake." This indicates that Apostle Paul met Christ through special revelation. And I think Apostle Paul's whole emphasis in verse 10 through the end of the chapter was to show that his apostleship was a personal experience between Jesus Christ and himself. It was not given to him by man. Now we know that he did not preach or teach anything that conflicted with the apostles, the other apostles. He had their support as he went on his missionary journeys. He was not saying that I don't need them. He was not saying that I wouldn't accept their counsel, but that just that this calling or call to apostleship was because of a personal calling from God, a personal relationship with Him. And the challenge I receive from this is, if we want a strong church, a church that will not be removed from the gospel, we each must have a personal relationship with Christ. We must each be fellowshipping with Him. Without this personal relationship, we soon become religious, like the Jews in verses 13 and 14, where Apostle Paul describes his past life, the way he used to be. When we have a relationship with Christ like we should, an interest in the Word and personal Bible study will be the norm. And as we look into the Word for the answers to life's questions, we grow in our convictions. We grow in how we believe God wants us to live our lives, and that is pleasing to Him. And when we have a group of brethren who are all doing this, it makes for a strong church. A church where there will be safety from the influences of evil. A place where our children can grow and prosper because they see the Christian life exemplified. A personal relationship with Christ is essential if we want to live in the grace of Christ and be strong Christians. Yes, we need each other. We need the help of our brethren, and we should value their input, but they cannot take the place of our Savior. Bible study and prayer, that personal communion, will help guard us against the snare of living to please men. In closing, in answer to the question, would Apostle Paul marvel at our obedience to the gospel? Or would he say, we're removed from grace? Well, the answer to that is, have I personally maintained a relationship with Christ? Have I embraced the truth and shunned the false? Am I living for God's approval? Each one of us needs to answer these questions, and when we can answer affirmatively, God's blessing will abide with us. I'll turn the time back over to Dan.